Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan Hotline is brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in town. That's where we find John Clayton. We do have the Steelers' updated injury report for Sunday's game. David DeCastro, the all-pro guard, is doubtful. So is number one corner Joe Hayden. So, John, who do you like in this game now that you have a better idea of some of the important players who are going to be in the lineup and guys who are going to be out? You lean Pittsburgh or Kansas City on Sunday?
I still lean Pittsburgh, but, of course, I mean, this is a guy that leaned Chargers last week when looking at the Kansas City Chiefs. Because I thought that the Chargers, because I saw them in the preseason, they looked good on offense. Phillip Rivers looked sharp. Their defense looked good. And Kansas City came in because I thought they were going to take a step back this year because with a young quarterback and Patrick Mahomes, I thought it was going to take him some time to get up to speed. Well, it has taken him no time to get up to speed, and he looks good throwing the four touchdown passes. But I still think, you know, it's home. It's going to be a closer game. It hurts not having DeCastro. Certainly it hurts not having Le'Veon Bell. And you know that Ben Roethlisberger is playing hurt, but I still think in the end they can pull this thing out. So much is going to have to rely on the defense.
John, one thing I saw watching that Chiefs-Chargers game, Mahomes' arm strength is eye-popping, and they felt like they were never out of a series because of it. But Tyreek Hill appears to have added a lot of polish as an actual wide receiver. What was your impression of what he did in that game?
He's impressive, but that whole group is impressive. I mean, you think about the four touchdown game and plays that he was able to make, and they really didn't get the ball to one of the best tight ends in the game, Travis Kelce, which, of course, you know that's going to happen. They're going to get the ball to him coming up this week. So I really like that. I mean, because when you looked at it, they finished the season with one of the most exciting group of skilled players in football. You know, a great running back, fast guys like Hill and others at wide receiver, Kelce. I mean, that's a dynamic group. But see, my wrong impression was that what was going to happen was, okay, it's going to take Mahomes half the season to get comfortable, to really, you know, go through the growing pains of being a young quarterback with only one start. And sure enough, what ends up happening, you know, he comes off and just blows everybody off with a great start. But, I mean, he's going to be a great quarterback. You know, I thought that Alex Smith last year played at an MVP level, but it's Alex Smith. He still doesn't get you deep enough into the playoffs. I think Patrick Mahomes is talented enough. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but in time, he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that can take you to a Super Bowl.
John, he's going to need to score a lot of points maybe this week because it looks like Eric Berry, who's listed as doubtful, isn't going to play. How depleted is that Chiefs secondary when he's not out there? How vulnerable are they?
They're vulnerable because now you're talking about probably, well, it depends on where you want to put Derek Johnson and Tamba Ali toward the end of their career. But you're taking four key elements out of that defense because now you don't have Berry in there. They traded away one of the best cornerbacks in the league in Marcus Marcus Peters. And then you look to see, all right, now they're weaker at the linebacking core, not as much pass rush, and, you know, they're more vulnerable on defense. And so that does lead to maybe more higher scoring games than you would expect with the Chiefs, and that could play well for, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the sense of, you know, Ben can get things going and Connor continue running the football. That could be good. But, no, their defense is much more challenged than I think any time in the last 4 or 5 years.
John, what was the worst thing that came out of the tie? In your opinion, I know here in Pittsburgh, to me, I compare it to last year's loss in Chicago where you just expect that coughing up that game in Cleveland is going to come back to haunt or bite the Steelers at some point, whether it's seeding in the AFC or a bye or even making the playoffs. Is that how you see that situation?
Yeah, because, again, I think everything is geared up this season to try to pull a home game in the playoffs away from the Patriots because that seems to be the big obstacle. Now, of course, I say that knowing that they lost at home, the Steelers did, to Jacksonville, and did not have the chance. But, I mean, this is the Ben Roethlisberger era, and you know, it's not at the end, but it's heading toward the end, and you want to get that Super Bowl trip, one more trip, to do it. But, again, you can't do it if you don't get the home game away from the Patriots because they're just so good in Foxborough. You know something's going to go wrong there. And so you're right, that tie and that half game could be the costly venture that may have prevented them from, you know, getting over the top and doing it. Now, of course, you still have to worry about Jacksonville. You know, Baltimore calmed off a little bit, so I think that's still in good stead. But that could be that half game that cost them home field advantage.
John, speaking of the Ben Roethlisberger era, during his time with Mike Tomlin, he and Tomlin have combined for 106 wins. That puts him one behind Bradshaw and Chuck Knoll, and 10 behind Shula Marino, way behind Brady and Belichick. But in terms of Ben and Tomlin versus Bradshaw and Knoll, how do you see that comparison? How close are those two quarterback and coach combos, if at all?
Well, I mean, it's certainly still off because, again, you look at the four Super Bowls with Chuck Knoll and the four Super Bowls with Terry Bradshaw, and that's still hard to top. But I think when you're looking at something, it's still close because, you know, Ben probably is going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, if he gets one more trip to the Super Bowl, win or lose, that locks it up. But it probably is locked up already. You know, where Mike Tomlin is not going to be, at this stage, a Hall of Fame coach, even though, again, it's just, and part of the reason is hard to be a coach and get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Trust me, I've been watching this stuff in the room for 1988. That's why I'm trying to get the coaches in the contributor category to get great coaches in there. But I think, you know, Mike is a great coach, but certainly I think when you look at the four Super Bowl rings and the four trips to the Super Bowl that's there, I mean, edge goes to the guys in the 70s and early 80s.
John, you watched Bradshaw. I didn't get a chance to do that. If he were playing today's game, would he be the best quarterback? Is he... Like that Bradshaw-Ben comparison is a little bit harder for me, not having watched Bradshaw in anything more than highlights. Is where do you come down on just comparing those two guys?
Well, I mean, because Terry just has more talent, because I don't think – I still remember just standing on the sideline and watching him throw. And you talk about the great throws of Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you can look to see great throws from Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. Well, Terry Bradshaw was in that same vein. I mean, every pass that he threw was like a picture. I mean, it was spiraling. It would go downfield and all that. Now, certainly, you know, how he would adjust to the new era of football, which is more fast-paced and all that, you can do it. But then you watched it in the last two runs to the Super Bowl because the defense was getting a little bit older. It was not able to do what it was, you know, in the mid and early 70s. And so what ended up happening, you know, offense took a little bit more control, and he was firing the ball to Lynn Swann and Stallworth and getting the ball in, and really started to get more offensive production toward the end of that Super Bowl run. But no, I think that you know, Bradshaw had just had great talent. I mean, you could see it just by the fact that he was a top pick in a draft that you know, he had that. But he had one of the greatest arms this league has ever seen.
Couple more minutes with John Clayton here on Pony and Mueller PM Team on the Fan. And the Bengals last night made a statement, I thought, in terms of jumping out the way they did on Baltimore. Joe Flacco didn't look anything close to what he looked like against Buffalo. Do you see that as a legitimate early message from the Bengals? Because, frankly, I'm still very skeptical of that team.
Yeah, I'm skeptical, too, but they're starting to calm my skepticism because, you know, that's back-to-back decent games. Now, they didn't play great in the first half of the Colts game, but they clearly had a great first half and carried over. And you can look to see that they've now resolved some of the elements that got them out of the playoff run. I mean, first off, when you lose two of your top three receivers in Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones, they didn't have any immediate replacements. I mean, Brandon LaFell, please. And then, you know, they chase away their two best offensive linemen and, you know, hoping that two draft choices from a couple years ago were going to do it. Well, those guys are backups to a point where the first-round pick, who's trying to replace Andrew Whitworth, was inactive last week. So now they've repaired that. They get Cordy Glenn to help him out on the offensive line. You know, Brian Price, the center, looks like he can help out, although he got banged up in the game last night. But no, they've resolved things, and all of a sudden, you know, Andy Dalton's back to being a little bit more of the red rifle. And I think he's good enough when you get talent around him. John Ross hasn't picked it up yet, but he will because he's got great speed and great talent. No, I think they're starting to show that they can be for real. And then think about this. I mean, you saw that Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins looked dominating. Well, now, you know, one more game after this one in week four, they get Vontaze Burfict back. And so, no, I think they're heading in the right direction. Are they? I think that, you know, I thought maybe there'd be a six-win team. Now I look at them being at least somewhat of a contender for maybe a wild card. I don't know if they can win the division, though.
John, when do you think Le'Veon Bell shows up?
I have no idea. I mean, I just can't read it. I mean, the fact that, you know, now, you know, he's starting to, you know, leak word back about how disappointed he was that some of the guys in the team talked about his contract and that when, you know, he's withholding his services and hurting this team. You know, I'm just baffled. I mean, you know, at the worst case scenario, he's coming back by, you know, week 11, so he gets the final six games, so he gets vested and makes sure that he can move into next year. But I thought it was interesting that the word starts to leak out. You know, it's like, well, he might put the transition tag on. And did you see the comments that, you know, at least were attributed to him in the sense that saying that, it kind of confirms what I was worried about, that I was going to get overloaded with the ball, because that's what they did with James Conner. And it's like, are you more worried about next year than this year? And that seems to be selfish enough that he is.
John, last one. Antonio Brown threatened to break a reporter's jaw last week. The Steelers put out a statement, and then Brown offered an apology. Should the Steelers or the NFL, should they have disciplined him, somebody, for those actions?
No, I think that they just got to make sure that you get the apology and is sincere about the apology. Because, again, it's like, withholding his services, I think, would be the wrong thing to do. I think, first off, I mean, he needs to confront a reporter and talk to him and then straighten it out to make sure that they're okay. But, hey, that happens through the years. You're going to say things. The big thing is, if he would have done what he was saying, then he should get suspended. But just if it's just words right now, you can fix the words. Just fix the relationship.
John Clayton, every Friday with us at 4 o'clock. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Take care, man.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.